and barrel or whatever it is, you know, you have to keep turning to warm both sides. You know what I'm talking about? To get it warm. And but God has always had fireplaces. You ever thought about that? As I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, there was a burning bush in the Bible. Everybody remember that? How many remember when Elijah called fire down out of heaven? And the Bible says that all the water that was around the altar was consumed or licked up. And the altar was burnt. And the prophets of Baal just couldn't figure out. They had prayed 8, 10, 12 hours and nothing ever happened. But how many know God's a God of fire? You ever thought about it that way? And I thought Acts chapter 2 and 3, you know, Pentecost. Y'all remember the story of Pentecost. The Bible says that, you know, every person from different languages and different tongues and different natives, people of all nationality and all races come to one place. You know, nowadays it's hard to get Christians to associate with black Christians. Now, listen to me. It's hard to associate with Latino Christians. But how many know when we get to heaven, we're going to all be gathered around the throne of God? All of us together. And I thought about that, and the day of Pentecost, man, the fire fell out of heaven called the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that? The Bible said the Holy Ghost came through like a mighty rushing wind and turned those people to where the Egyptians were speaking in Jewish and the Israelites could hear, you know, all the other languages. And when if they said praise God, they heard praise God. I wonder what would happen tonight if our church would ever catch on fire. I wonder tonight. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Now I want you to pay close attention to these three verses, or three or four verses. The Bible says, now when Solomon, watch this, made an end of prayer, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Watch, watch. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory had filled the Lord's house. Now what if every time we walked in, you could just feel and see the power of God coming down out of heaven? And I pray and I pray and I pray, Lord, I want you to open up the windows of heaven and pour out the Holy Spirit of God on us, where it's so real that we can see it, we can feel it. You might have to take your pocket knife out and cut your way down to the front. That's a church on fire. Now watch this. Look at verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw, watch, how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their face to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised God, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I would to God that we would just get in our minds one of these days that when we get to heaven, there won't be no sitting around on the stool or do nothing. We're going to be shouting and we're going to be praising God while the ages roll on. You're going to have fire when you get to heaven. That fire around the throne, I read in Revelation, where the smoke continueth up day and night. And how many know where there's smoke, there's fire? Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Now watch. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many know tonight that we need a good dose of Holy Ghost fire on our lives? I told somebody this week, you know, when a church, and I know churches around, you can't get an amen out. If you went back there, sat in their pew, and held their hand up and said amen for them, they still wouldn't say amen. They that dried up, they that withered up. And how many know when the church loses its fervor with God, where they used to be an organism, and praise God, they turned into an organization because they lost the fire? Huh? There's too many organizations going on saying it's going to be this way, that way, and another way. But let me tell you something tonight. It should be God's way instead of our way. And if you allow the fire to fall out of heaven and let God be God, you're going to have Holy Ghost revival. Amen. We need fire in our churches. You know what an organism is? That's something that is living and breathing. And a church with fire is living and breathing. But if you lose that fire and you lose the oxygen that fuels the fire, my friend, you no longer are an organism. You're an organization. And there's a bunch of organizations going on. We need to grab a hold of this tonight. Our God is a consuming fire. How many knows that? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, I want you to look what the Bible says. Very simple, isn't it? For our God is a consuming fire. When's the last time you've been consumed with God? I want you to grab a hold of that thought. When's the last time you've been consumed or overtaken by God? You say, well, preacher, last Sunday I shed a tear. Last Sunday I might have slipped up and said amen. Well, you know what? Amen means you agree. Amen? That's what that word means. And if you agree with the word of God and the songs of Zion, you ought to say amen. But I'm talking about being consumed. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. That means he wants full control. Amen. And when we finally say, Lord, I'm done. I'm done using you. Lord, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready for you to consume me with your Holy Ghost power. You're going to figure out what fire's all about. It's time for us to get ready for heaven. Are you hearing me? It's time. No man knoweth the day nor the hour which the Son of Man shall appear. Nobody knows. Not even the angels in heaven, right? That's what the Bible tells us. But how many know it could be any moment? It's cloudy outside, isn't it? He left out on the cloud. He's coming back on the cloud. And I'm ready for him to come with other than lost loved ones and lost friends I would like to see saved before he does come back. But how many know I'm ready to be on fire? I think he done lit a little bit tonight. Amen. But you know what? We need that. We need fire in our church. Don't be worried about what other people says. God desires, listen, God desires his church to be on fire. God desires his church to be on fire. How many know fire consumes? You realize that? Well, I'm going to look at it at a spiritual standpoint tonight. Fire from the Holy Ghost will consume all your sin. Huh? You see, Every one of us sin every day of our life. I know that. The Bible teaches that. But how many know if you got the Holy Ghost power of God, you won't be sinless, but you will sin less. Amen? Because fire is consuming those sin and moving them out of the way. And when you see sin, then you look over here and see the love of God. You see our Savior on the cross, the one who died and shed his blood for us. Instead of seeing the devil in the sin, you see Jesus on the cross. Then you know you got the fire. Amen. Fire consumes. Not only fire consumes, but fire purifies. Fire purifies. I told Travis the other day, I said, you know, I make knives. You know, I like to piddle with knife making, you know. And they throw away old lawnmower blades down there at the shop. I'll go back in there and get some out of the barrel, and I'll make a knife out of it. But it's amazing what fire can do. I can watch those blades. You can go out there and cut rocks. You can see sparks flying. It'll cut grass. And bless God, if you get too low, it'll cut a root. I mean, everything out there. But then you put it in the furnace, my friend. You can see it start being consumed. You can see it start melting. And that's what the Holy Ghost does to us. It starts melting us. And God takes the hammer of love and starts making us what He wants us to be. It's time for us to jump into the furnace of God. Amen? You know, y'all know what a lawnmower blade looks like. How the blades turn up. I can put it in the furnace, and I can take my 2-pound maul. After it gets hot, it gets red hot, and I'll pull it out and put it on my anvil, and I'll start hitting the end of it, and I can take a 2-inch blade and narrow it down to a point on the end, and then I can come back up and start shaping my knife with the hammer, huh? You know why? Because it's in the fire. I believe God wants to shape us as Christians. The only way He can shape us is to get in the fire. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being cold. Huh? I'm tired of being at distance. I want God to put me in the fire. Like the psalm says, you know, and the Bible says about the 3 Hebrew children. Y'all remember the story? That fire, they got it so hot that when the guard opened the door, it consumed the guard. Read it. But yet still, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was walking around in the fire. Amen. You know what they was walking around in there for? God was sort of molding them and making them what He wanted them to be. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, I thought we throw 3 in, but there's 4. And the 4th one's like the Son of God. He's in there shaping them and molding them in the fire. Amen. We need to think about this thing. It's time for us to quit being cold on God and turn loose and let go and let God be God. Amen. Not only does fire consume, fire purifies. But how many know fire prepares? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? There ain't nothing like going camping. And you get out there and cook some bacon over an open fire. It smells a whole lot better outside, don't it? For some reason. I can't eat it, but I love to smell it. I can eat turkey bacon all day. But as I got to thinking, you know, it takes heat and it takes fire to prepare food. You can take all kind of meat and vegetables that you can't eat uncooked. But when you put them in the fire, it makes them something good. But you got to add a little bit of ingredients to it, amen? And you know what? When God puts us in the fire, he looks in there and he slides us into that fire and he says, that just ain't quite done enough. And then he opens up heaven and pours out a little Holy Ghost on us, amen, and starts preparing us with a little extra tonight, folks. I'm here to tell you, God is a God of consuming fire, and he wants us in the fire where he can shape us, prepare us, and purify us, amen. We need to grab a hold of this tonight. And then I think, you know, not only fire consumes, purifies, prepares, but fire unites. Huh. Fire unites. I can take a lawnmower blade, cut it in half, and I can put two pieces together if I want to thicker, where I can draw it out further, you know what I mean? I can put two pieces together and put them in the fire. And those two separate pieces will become one in the fire. But it takes a little hammer work, amen. How many know God wants us at Mount Carmel to get in the fire? To where we can come and unite as one. You see, when we become as one, we become stronger.
That's right.
Huh? The devil is trying to tear what God is putting up. I can guarantee you that. I warned y'all a while back. I told you. I think it was a Monday night. I said, folks, I said, first of all, I said, the Lord is blessing our church at our men's meeting. I said, we need to pray that the devil don't tear it up. Amen. I said, listen to me. I said, because the devil is on his last leg. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows what's coming. And I thank God every day that my God is in control, not the devil. But the devil will come into the church house. He will put words in people's ears. He will put words in people's mouths. He will do this, that, and the other and try to tear down what God has joined together. But I'm here to tell you, long as we in the fire and reunited with each other, we gonna be a whole lot stronger than what the devil ever thought about being.
Amen.
That's why I wanted to preach this church in the fire tonight.
Amen.
We need the fire. God has been good to us. And a lot of times we take goodness for granted, don't we? We take goodness for granted. We think we deserve it. But can I tell you something tonight? The only thing we deserve is hell. That's it. But I'm so thankful. God saw fit to send me the other way. I don't worry about going to hell no more. Now I'm just striving to get to heaven. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because I've been through the fire. Praise God. It takes the fire to get us where God wants us. Somebody put on Facebook the other day that, you know, if it's broke, God can fix it. How true that is.
That's right.
I replied, it's first got to be broke before God can fix it.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm here to tell you, Mount Carmel's been through the fire. Y'all went several months through the fire. I've already heard. Didn't have a pastor. Had a pastor, didn't have a pastor. You've been through the fire. But you know what? I want you to hear this statement right here. There's a cooling off period too. And see, when you get cool, if you're not quenched, you can't get hard. You're still soft. Are you hearing me? I don't want Mount Carmel to be soft. And the Bible says, quench not the Spirit.
Right.
Try the Spirit to see whether it be true or not.
Yeah.
Folks, it's time to get back in the fire and let God do what He wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
A church on fire. Number one, I ain't even got to the message yet. I told you I was going to need a little time tonight. Number one, a church on fire, listen, we'll pray. We'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. The Bible says, defraud ye not one to another, one the other, except it be in consent for a time that ye may give yourselves fasting and what?
Prayer.
And come
together.
Wow. Come together. I'm going to say something right here. Am I going to shout the daylights out of you? One person in the church that's not in the fire can cause the church to go cold. I'm not getting in the fire, preacher. Well, get out. Pretty simple. Everybody's got to be in the fire for God to make us what He wants us. That's unity, is it not? When we gather around this altar, it's time. That's why we started praying on Wednesday night as prayer meeting, amen? It's time to pray. And how many know God honors prayer? I made this statement this week. I've been in the ministry since 1996. March of 96, I preached my first message at Seekers Grove Baptist Church. Won't never forget it. I titled the message, Open Heart Surgery. Still got the message at the house. I might preach it to y'all one of these days. But I got to thinking, all the folks that I've had the privilege of leading to the Lord, I've never had one to stand in front of me that their shirt was soaking wet from tears. Until Sunday. He come and stood right before me and said, preacher, I'm lost. I need Jesus. I said, well, you know what? I can lead you to Him. His shirt was wet with tears. Folks, that's fire. That's getting in the fire. That's when God starts using you. I don't know about you, but I want to be used of God. I want to be a church that prays, a church on fire. We'll see the need of others and seek God for what they need. The church is put right here. Mount Carmel was planted right here. You say, why was it planted? Because we're going up one of these days, amen? It wasn't buried, it was planted. Anything's planted is going to come up, amen? But it was planted right here is because God wanted it right here. Nowhere else. Not a foot that way, a foot that way. God wanted it right here. And thank God that somewhere, somebody prayed, Lord, give me some land that I can start a church that will build your kingdom.
Amen.
Somebody somewhere. And now it's up to us to seek God's face for the need of others. Not to look at what we have. Not to look at what we had. But to look at what we can give to add to the kingdom of God. You know what? Every one of us here tonight, starting over here with Miss Lucy, all the way around this place, ending up with Miss Evelyn here tonight. Every one of us has got something to give to God. Every one of us. My question is, are you giving? A church on fire will pray. Number two. A church on fire. Listen. Will be uncomfortable in the world. A church on fire will be uncomfortable in the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Look what the Bible says. Love not the world. Ain't that something? Neither the things that are what? In the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A church on fire is not comfortable in the world. The fire of God burning in the hearts will burn away the desires of the world. How many know that? The fire of God burning in the heart will burn away the desires of the world. And we wonder why so many Christians slip and get out of God's will. I'll tell you why. It's because the fire's flickered down. It's because the burner is about gone. My friend, listen. All you got to do is come back. I'm glad the day that God allows U-turns. Amen. You get going down the wrong road, bless God, you like the prodigal son. You can go out there and blow all what you got. But always the Father's standing there waiting for you to come back. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Last one. A church on fire. Listen to this. A church on fire will accomplish great things for God. You know, I think many times of how good God's been to us here in the last 2.5, 2.75 years. I was sitting there at work the other day, and I've pastored 2 churches, interim in one. This is my third. You know, God will bless if you will allow Him. I have yet to see a church being blessed like Mount Carmel has in 2.5 years. In my ministry. I'm sure they're out there, but I'm saying in my ministry, okay? And I've been to a lot of churches, preached in a lot of churches. But if you want to accomplish anything for God, you got to get on fire tonight. People getting saved. People getting right with God. People getting right with each other. I can't remember where it was at, if it was at Central Baptist Church or Secrets Grove Baptist Church. I can't remember. Daddy, you might remember this. But I remember a man walking down the aisle. And he turned and grabbed a hold of another man. And he said, "I want you to forgive me." And when he did that, Holy Ghost revival fell. If you can't get along down here, how are you going to get along in heaven? If you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love the Heavenly Father in whom you have not seen? If this church ever gets on fire for God, you're going to have unity in love with everybody here instead of just one little group. It's going to have to be the whole church. And then you want prayers answered? I know God's working. It's been a month or so ago. It might not have been almost a month. I had a request for the men's meeting back here. And some of you might remember this. I looked at each one of the men. I said, "Men, I said, there's lost people in our congregation. I ask you to pray every day for them." Y'all remember that? That was 3 weeks ago. Almost next month, first Monday of next month, will be a month. And we've seen 5 souls saved. See what prayer can do? Prayer can change things. If we would only pray, in the power and of the Holy Ghost. You see, a lot of times we get down on our knees and we say, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. How many know it comes a point in time to forget about you and put somebody else on the throne? Amen. It's time to lift up somebody else. As I look around, God has blessed every one of us beyond measure. You look around, there's always somebody that's worse shaped than what you are. Always. But yet we cry and moan to God, Lord, I need, Lord, help me, Lord, this, Lord, that. What about praying? Lord, I'm saved and I thank you for it, but there's others lost. I pray that you would help me to see them saved. That's the prayer we need to pray. And I'm asking you tonight, from the authority of God's word, that we pray that souls be saved. There was four hands went up Sunday and only one got saved. That means there's three more lost somewhere tonight. Folks, we need to pray for the lost. Time is just about up. A church on fire will pray. Christians on fire will pray. Not only here at church, I'm talking about in your home too, amen? Before you lay your head down at night, when you get your head up in the morning, and during the day, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. Bless God if you do, I'm in trouble because I pray going up and down the road all the time. I get on the excavator or a skid steer or something or another. I'll get out there riding around. So Tommy, if you ever see me whirling around, you know I'm having a big time with God, amen? But you know what? God don't hear the lips. He hears your heart. The intent of your heart. Is that not what he said? God knows the intent. And I ask you tonight, how many is willing to see Mount Carmel set on fire? Can I throw something back at you from about 2 months ago? Time to throw some wood on fire. Y'all remember that? Time to throw some wood on the fire. I want to see our church on fire. I want people to go by out here and this church be so on fire for God that they smell the power of God out in the highway. You say, preacher, is that possible? The wooing of the Holy Spirit can draw people in. The Holy Ghost power of God can cause a car to turn right in here. Amen. And you know what? The only way that's going to happen is if we ever get on fire for God. This has just been an extra piece of kindling tonight. Throwing it on the fire, amen? Get it started. I pray that this church would ever be what God wants it to be. If we ever get to the point to where man's running the church, it's going to fall. It's going to cave in. You look at the churches across North Carolina and South Carolina tonight that are closing the doors. I'll tell you why. It's because man stuck their big hand in it and took God's out. Amen? And it's time for us to allow God to put his hand back on the churches and let God be God and let him say, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. That's what we need. And if we ever get God's hand back on the church, you're going to have fire. A church on fire pleases God. Amen? And I want every one of us tonight, when we walk out these doors, before we leave, make a promise to God, Lord, I'm going from now on be on fire with your help. God, I'm going to be on fire for you. God, I don't care what the world sees. I want them to see red. You say fire red, no blood red. Amen. That's what I want. And I'm asking you tonight, how many is willing to surrender your life to God and let him put you in the fire and mold you into what he wants you to be? Would you be willing to do that tonight? I don't usually do this on Wednesday nights, but I'll ask you to bow your head right now. And if you're serious about this, I want you to come around this altar. Not for only this church, but other churches. There's other churches need God's fire. Not just us. I'm biased, but I'm not greedy. God, we need your fire. Lord, let it begin with me. David prayed for revival in Psalm. And he said, Lord, revive me. Lord, set me on fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, set me on fire tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, I believe I preached the exact message this church needed tonight. Lord, as we gather around this old-fashioned altar tonight, Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would come down and rain fire all over us tonight. Lord, that we could just feel your presence and your power tonight. Lord, that when we walk out these doors, let us be changed individuals. Lord, that as we're changed individuals, Lord, take that same fire and unite us together to make us strong in Christ. Purify us with your fire tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd move out the hindering spirits. Lord, that you would purify our spirit, get us in the right mind. And right spirit, when we leave this place tonight, Lord, help us to be pleasing in thy sight. And God, help us in our prayers be a sweet smelling savor unto the nostrils of God. Once again, not just hot air carrying up. God, I pray, Lord, for each individual that's in this church tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give them power. Lord, that you'd give them that fire we so desperately need in this old world. Lord, this old world is dark. I'm glad you said you are the light of the world. And in you there is no darkness. Help us to be a shining beacon light tonight that the world could see Jesus in our lives. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we're dismissed tonight. Lord, I pray that something might be said or has been said. Lord, that will draw someone closer to you. Lord, that we could just be a better Christian. Lord, I ask that you would just dismiss us in your love tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us now to be obedient to the Spirit. When the Spirit speaketh, let us listen. Lead, guide, direct everything that's said and done tonight. And Lord, we'll count it an honor and a privilege to call you our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.